welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello and welcome to the Brother Streep Show. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep, hello.
And with us as we interrupt your breakfast and rugby watching today is none other than Nick Rabinowitz.
Morning.
And Kagiso KG Mochadi, or just KG to white people like us.
Yeah.
Just.
How's it going?
You know, whatever you feel like, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Good morning, guys.
It can't be whatever. I mean, if we start calling you Alan, surely you're going to be,
Look, I'm okay with Kagiso. I'm okay with KG, you know.
All right.
I'm very chilled out. I think it's because I worked for an American company and no one could pronounce my name. So at some point I stopped caring.
He's also okay with Marcos.
You are very chilled out, and I think it's probably worth noting that I don't know if we've had two guests on whose on stage energy is more kind of the opposite.
Yes.
Because we've seen Nick's show, we've seen your show.
Yeah.
And Nick comes on and it's just bah, 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 drrr, bah, voice. Da, da, da. And then KG's like, hey.
It's great. So today is, for many, the last day of festival.
I didn't know till you started talking that this was going to be like audible to the people sitting in the restaurant.
Apologies.
Are you guys okay with this? Is it
all right?
Yeah. We could always break into rugby commentary as well.
I think they might enjoy that more.
That's true.
And it's the All Blacks 10 meters from the Lions line. Here they get unbelievable.
With it being the last day of festival, everyone's got the end in sight. How are you guys getting back to Cape Town?
We, with our contingent of six people, will be flying out of Port Elizabeth.
Oh, lucky. That's fancy.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So you brought some little people along with you.
Yeah, just because, you know, we actually drove up from George and we were shattered. They just screamed for the last 3 hours of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife wanted to turn around immediately. And
it's not worth it. Okay. So you've decided to fly from PE back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. We're using up all of the meager profits earned during this quiet festival to fly home.
Sounds good. KJ, you joining us in the big long drive?
I'm driving, bro. I'm a big fan. I've always loved driving long distance.
Do you also do that thing?
It's an Afrikaans. It's his Afrikaans heritage, you see.
Die groot trek. Die groot trek.
It's in his veins. It's in his veins.
Yeah, I'm a Pretoria boy. You forget.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Do you also do that thing where you kind of comment the whole time whether you're making good time? It seems to be any journey over an hour.
What, to yourself?
Sometimes
or to your loved ones. You might text ahead.
You might phone your dad and say, I'm making very good time.
Going 2:10, making good time.
Making good time.
No, bro, I don't.
You don't?
You take it easy.
Look, because there are no cameras between here and the Western Cape, I'm going to push.
No. Oh, wait. George is the Western Cape.
George has between 17 cameras.
Between George East and George West, there are 18 cameras.
That's cool. When I get to George, I'll be chilled proper.
I actually remember once just driving over the rise between George and Victoria Bay.
Yeah.
There's one just on the rise there. And I watched and I was going 10 kilometers over the speed limit.
Wow.
And I saw the flash and I saw the guy behind the camera go, yes! You bastard.
Stoked.
I think that's
usually
how
over December time. They love it.
Pretty much the garden route makes all of its manual speed fines.
And fire, nah. No, they don't.
What is that?
Can you make money on fire? If you're an insurance company,
fire insurance.
You could.
Yes.
You could.
How heavy was that destruction on the way?
I didn't see it.
Did you not?
Because we drove at night. Yeah.
Oh, we smelt it.
Watch as you go through. There's still smoldering stuff happening. And like buildings in the middle of the town.
Oh, I did jokes about that. This is going to be difficult because we are at the Oyster Festival next week.
Have you written jokes about it?
No, I haven't written anything about
Is it too soon, guys?
I think it's quite soon.
It's very soon.
Well,
considering
we're there next week.
Some
you
fires
and me
are still smoldering. Yeah. I think it's quite soon.
Yeah.
I mean, they asked me. Sorry, my guy. They asked me if I wanted to tweet something a few things with regards to. I was like, but are you honestly asking me,
the expert fireman,
to hype up the show? Like, I can't.
It's going
to
be blazing.
It's going to be blazing.
There we go.
Hottest show.
We're bringing the fire. The hottest show.
Brainstorm now. I find fires are. I used this point after that big Cape Town fire. What, about a year or two ago?
Yeah.
That, and then people. It takes people a little bit of time before they start seeing the positive, and then they'll say things like, "Well, you know, it's very good for the fan books." But it's also important, particularly when you have a fire in a white area. It does a lot for community building because people get to meet their neighbors for the first time.
When they need things from them.
Oh my God! I didn't know we had. We only moved here 25 years ago. We didn't know.
Totally.
Hello, ma'am. I think that's very cool.
That's Jess. So what are you knitting there, Jess? A blanket. That's magnificent work. It's kind of normal knitting. Then you got a bit of purl going on, and then some crochet. Is it? I know because I went to a Waldorf school, but you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, I'm quite impressed by all how that sounds. Yeah, but I don't know if it's right or wrong.
Yeah, we used to crochet our own underpants at Waldorf.
Wow, Nick.
Yep.
Jess is a resident knitter. She comes to watch most of the shows, and it's quite fun. We can see how many shows she's been based on how long the scarf gets. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Tumi Murake's show about knitting? She said something like, Viljay knit or Viljay nai? That's you clearly would like to knit.
Okay, Nick.
Oh, it's a kids show. And the only kids here are mine.
This podcast kind of falls part of our general podcast series that we've been doing by ourselves for ages and ages and ages. And a big kind of point on that podcast is the Surf Report.
I thought you were going to say the swearing, so I was like,
I started surfing, and I'm boasting about it. I'm no good, but I talk about it all the time as if I am. But I've seen you out there.
I do exactly the same.
What? But you're good.
No, dude.
Of course you are. You're out at the back in inverted commas.
Oh, you're not at the back yet.
I'm not at the back. How am I meant to get out there?
How many months has it been?
He's barely in the front.
It took me about 6 months to pluck up the courage to get to the back.
I've tried. No, I've got the courage to get to the back. I don't have the upper body strength to get to the back.
Oh, see. KG can help you with that. Have you seen him in the water?
No.
Neither have I.
There's a clip on the Dan Nicole show of me in the water. Oh. I almost drowned.
Did you surf?
No, I wasn't surfing. I was swimming.
Were you doing? Oh, swimming.
And I almost drowned. It's beautiful TV. We are doing myself Tank Lenning? And Dan Nicole are doing synchronized swimming. It's beautiful
TV. Wow.
It's just gorgeous.
Well, and so it's been how many months?
Oh, no, that's the end of the surf report. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I just like to bring it up so that people
are aware.
I thought
we were going to do a Grahamstown surf report.
So that people are aware that
when
I surf.
When we got here, Ben actually asked me if I was going to go surfing.
Nice. Yeah, there's a bit of a drought here in Grahamstown and no oceans.
Water has gathered in that one road, so you could possibly... Yeah.
Yes. When the wind really whips up at the reservoir, there's a minute... 0.8 centimeter wave.
Enough for me. I'll get to the back.
I look forward to surfing with you at Musenberg.
Yes, well, I'll wave out, and then hopefully people don't come to try to rescue me.
If you could tow him to the
have
back.
Have you seen a shark there?
I haven't seen a shark there yet. You have?
Yep.
I didn't want to hear that. Yeah, that's not what I want to hear, Nick.
On this particular occasion, it was there's certain conditions in Musenberg when the water's a bit warmer and there's quite a bit of like algae or stuff in the water.
Oh,
the sharks.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And I checked this. I didn't actually see it. I just heard someone say, "Repent of it!" And I thought it was one of my fans. And he was actually warning me that there was...
Oh, my
and
word.
I turned around and it saw it from like that second pillar there. Like, I just checked this fin...
That's about 10 meters away for those who aren't.
It's kind of surreal when you don't have the audio to go with it.
Yes.
Like the jaws. It's just a fin. Yeah. But it's coming directly towards you.
Whoa, bro.
And then it just faded at the last. That's very lucky. That was the joy of having a longboard and you just, all your limbs can be above water and
that's
you're
true.
Just lying there.
Okay.
Playing dead. So I was playing a dead seal. Bro.
This surf report seems far more interesting than the reports
say,
you get.
Listeners are going to be like,
"Seen a shark?
What on earth
have you done
this
that's even remotely good?" Now, KG, I've been trying to figure out something on your flyer for a very long time, since the beginning of the festival. I don't have it with me, unfortunately, but there's a pull quote on it from the Argus, and it says, "When two worlds collide." What are the two worlds?
It's my traditional world with my dad being a Sangoma. It's me going to an Afrikaans high school and being in westernized South Africa, you know?
Okay.
Those are the two worlds.
Those are the two worlds. Because the Argus doesn't say what they are. It leads it up to, you know, imagination. Mm. What could these two worlds...
Are you sure that wasn't a word, quote from when you opened for me?
No. What? I chose this quote because I have two from the Argus. The other one was our very own Bill Cosby.
Yikes.
Off your and you only got to use that for 3 months.
That actually brings up a good point. We were going to say that you had opened for Nick and I think David Cow and Jim Jeffries, if the little bio I read this morning is anything to believe.
Most recently,
who's the nicest of those three comedians to open for?
Who is the nicest of the three to open for?
Three or four, yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's an answer you could give immediately that would put you in good stead for the rest of this hour.
Nick's my brother. I can be honest with
Nick
any day.
You can be honest with Nick.
Let's see who is nice. Nice.
Nice isn't necessarily nice. A compliment.
Yeah, they're not. No, the guys are not.
Okay, sorry. Let me specify more.
Nice is throwing me off.
The guy you'd like to spend that time touring with. And can't wait to get off stage and hang out with afterwards and spend the evening together.
Maybe do a podcast with him.
I would go with Jim Jeffries just because I've seen that whole bit where he puts eggs up his bum and tries to get them out with chopsticks.
Really? I've not seen that.
Yeah.
Yo, that's the thing. Like, I didn't spend much time with Jim, so I'd put Jim at the
bottom.
You'll remember we had a gig, you and I, in Hout Bay. So I opened for Jim and I came to a gig that we were doing in Hout Bay.
Yeah.
So Jim and I spoke. He's a cool guy. And he was drunk. It was like proper. But it was cool drunk. It wasn't
eggs up
before
his
he
drunk.
Went. Yeah, he was before he went on.
It was before he went on. And he was jet lagged. He was drunk. And he offered me vodka. I said no. And then he said something really cool. He was like, "Yo, dude, you're not healing people. You're just doing comedy. You know what I mean?
What?
You're not healing people. You're just doing comedy. This is just jokes. Just be yourself.
I think he was talking to himself because if you watch KG perform, it is a healing. It is. No, I'm serious.
It is. It's spiritual.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that was cool. Like, I still don't. I don't get wasted before I get on shows. I don't even eat, but.
He doesn't even eat. That's where the lack of energy comes from.
Religious.
I call my wife. That's the only thing I do.
It's a ritual. He calls his wife before he goes on.
Even if it's just like
before he goes to the bathroom and he's in the B&B. He'll call her.
Because he needs to perform.
I'm just about to go to the bathroom, and when I put on the light, I'm going to do 5 minutes.
That's good to know. Well, we heard that it's quite fun to be backstage at your shows, Nick, because Tats did some touring with you and said that he played cricket.
We had epic games. Anytime we're together at a show, we have the little cricket set that we used yesterday.
Oh, really?
That epic comics versus comics. Five aside, four aside, three aside.
It seemed to change a little bit.
Yeah.
It changed.
I watched the video and I was like, hold on, there were only actually four people per team. And interestingly, if you've watched the footage which Simon shot, you have to watch it a couple of times to see my five-year-old, who was, he was pretty pissed off.
Really?
Yeah, because he wanted to play and then we were playing. And then he removed the stump from the bowler's end. And as I bowl the last delivery to Rob van Vuren, uprooting his off stump, you can see him throw that stump at me in my delivery stride, attempting to impale his father with a wicket. Thanks.
I was just very happy in that match because they appointed team captains, and normally I'm terrible at cricket. I would have been chosen last, but Simon Gessie got chosen last just despite him. Which was
nice. I missed that part. I went to buy hot dogs for the children.
I was very excited about that.
Now, Nick, I don't know if you can relate, but outside of the Brothers Streep, I go by the surname Hitchens.
Are you actually brothers?
No.
No.
Okay.
Do you think we could have been, though?
Because
it does
actually
confuse
yeah.
a lot more people than
you
we
could,
ever thought it would.
You could be brothers. I mean, look at those two. You would think like they had a different father, which they might. I don't want to say in front of them, but
it's all in the eyes for them. So now my surname Hitchens.
Hitchens?
Yes. How would you spell that?
H-I-T-C-H.
Wrong. There's no T, and it's my whole life people have spelled it with a T, and I've gone, oh, there's no T. Now, with a surname Rabinowitz, can you relate to having a surname that people just constantly
of
misspell?
Course.
What are the kind of weirder spellings you end up with?
Well, I think I mentioned about 7 of them in my show last night. There's Rabinowitz. obviously, like an S instead of a Z, or a Rabinowitz instead of an I O instead of an. Then you'll get like sometimes I've gotten Rainbowitz. I've gotten
nice,
Rabinowitz. What? I just got hit in the balls by a 5-year-old. This is the hazards
worth,
of doing a podcast
for the listeners that it is your 5-year-old
breakfast show. I'm sorry. Were you upset that I was talking about you? I apologize. Will you forgive me? Okay, cool. I won't talk about you anymore, I promise. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you can relate.
It was actually very sore. It wasn't a hard clap, but he just hit it. You know, it's just in the right spot. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll feel it in your stomach later.
I'm that your children know how to hurt you the most.
Why did I bring you here this morning?
KG, we were talking backstage after one of the shows a couple nights ago, and an interesting collective of people going on a road trip together came up, and it was you, Angel Campy from Devil's Advocate, and Marcel Oderhans, the magician.
Yeah.
Now, the big reveal for me was that you'd called this little road trip Black Magic Woman.
Yes.
Which is great. Black
yes.
Magic Woman.
Yes.
Santana song. It works. Yes. And we love a pun.
Yes.
In the Brothers Streep.
Yes.
You Can't Tats This was one of my favorite show names by Tats Konzo. So
yes.
That was good.
Yeah.
Why did the three of you end up getting together to go away to do stuff together, besides the fun name that works perfectly?
Marcel wanted to put together
an ensemble. Marcel wanted to play Hide the Sausage.
With Angel, I hope.
Not yeah, where's he hiding?
Him. By the way, Marcel Odeans is a very cool guy.
Yes.
Right? I think he's misunderstood, but I'm not going to talk about Marcel any more than I have right
now. I'd love you to talk about Marcel. That's why I brought this whole thing up.
You know what? He was cool. We had fun.
Yeah.
He organized like really cool gigs in George. The gig that we did in George in a train, I forgot the name of a place.
Oh, I know that gig. And it was like, it can only get like a maximum of 9 people in the restaurant on the train on the railway siding.
No, it's different.
No? Where have you been
gigging? Zanzibar. Is it Zanzibar?
No, I'm not sure. No. I did it many years ago.
How many years ago is this?
The place is burned down. It's about maybe, 4 years ago?
Okay, so it's not train moving through George to Nijmegen.
No, it's not train. It's a station.
It's a stationary train.
They took a train that carried thingamabob and they turned it into a bar, vibes, you know? Like
yeah, it sounds like the one I did, but maybe that was outside George.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
Well, if it's
George,
a train, surely it
was
can
a
be,
place
outside
called
George,
Zanzibar,
be outside George, outside
Nijmegen. And dude, it was. Look, it's George. I don't. The only time I've ever been inside George it's at the town of George was when I was doing that gig.
Okay.
But my feeling with George is that nothing happens there.
It is actually a very nice theater. I went to look at the theater.
Oh.
Yeah, we should do a remake. We should do a remix of Black Magic Woman. Maybe without the magic.
Black Woman Jew.
Yeah. Black Jew Woman.
Black Jew Woman.
There you go.
Cool. Work.
Is I'm there in. Such a... Well, there is. I met a Black Jew Woman recently.
Yeah.
She is from Germany.
Oh.
She is mixed race.
Okay.
And she, 3 years ago, this podcast is about to take a weird turn.
That's all right. can we just up front on the story, can we just say, Nick Rabinowitz, you are Jewish, right?
Yeah, I am Jewish.
Okay.
So this woman discovered that her father, who she never met, was actually a commandant in one of the Nazi death camps.
Oh wow.
And she written a fascinating book about it. Anyway, moving on.
So we're going to play a game with you guys now to break up the chat. This is a game of Would You Rather. Simple. I'm going to ask you a couple of Would You Rathers.
Yeah.
And you just kind of tell us which one you would rather and why. And it's also, it comes with a voting system. It's been done online.
So we've got to answer what we would rather or yeah. what people on the internet Both. Would rather.
Both.
Both. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Would you rather watch the movie or read the book?
The internet will go read a book. I would rather watch a movie.
I don't know. I think the internet's going with the movie.
Think about the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends.
There's people like me on
no,
the internet.
No, I'd rather read a book.
Like
I'd
if it was the Joy yeah, of Sex, you know that book you discovered in your parents' cupboard, like when you were. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you rather?
Oh, but that's going to be on like VHS, like really grainy and awful.
I'm just saying because I think the internet people are not. I don't trust like people are not honest on the internet. So I'd rather read the book because the book version is always the better version.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus.
I don't know, unless it's Lord of the Rings, where there's like so many poems yeah, in yeah, the middle yeah, of that book. Yeah.
Or the Bible.
Yeah, so many poems. Okay, so what are you saying? Let's just ask what the internet says.
The internet went with reading the book. I would rather read the book as well.
All right, all Nick.
Right. I would rather watch the movie, and I think the internet would do the same.
Simon, you jumping in on this?
Yeah, I think the internet would say book because then they can complain more when the movie comes out.
Oh, good point.
And yes. say, oh, good this point. Is terrible because the internet loves to complain.
That's
so
true. Okay, well, book. that could be it because a whopping 55% voted for the book. So I'm going to put a tick there because I'm keeping score somehow. All right, would you rather have a treehouse or a houseboat?
Ooh.
I would rather have a houseboat because of an incident that happened to me when I was 8, when I was fixing my treehouse.
Yeah.
And my dad was not a carpenter, unlike other Jewish dads.
That's great.
And I fell through the treehouse and got a piece of wood impaled into the roof of my mouth. So I'm going to go with the houseboat.
Wow. But imagine though, if you'd been out there fixing the houseboat. Could have been worse. Could have drowned.
We could have. Or we could have saved every living being, and including the T-Rex. How did he get the T-Rex in the houseboat?
It's a big houseboat.
No.
KJ.
Noah. Treehouse guy. I can't swim, man.
Oh, well, the houseboat's perfect if you can't swim.
No, but...
You might fall out.
When I fall out, this is a problem.
Okay.
I feel like you could float.
I also thought I could float until I realized that I can't. I'm actually going down.
So there's, I was listening to this podcast by Tim Ferriss. Do you listen to him? He's got this great thing. He interviews top performers from around the world. It's all about performance. And he's in his 40s, couldn't swim till the age of 39 or something. And someone took a bet and he learned this technique called total immersion and learned to swim in 6 months. And
wow,
total immersion
you,
into
so
the
like
water.
If I challenge you to do that, then you'd have to challenge me to do something else, and then we give each other 6 months, and then we go surfing, all of us,
yeah.
even Simon.
Yeah, that's fun.
All right.
Wow, that sounds cool.
You can do what my dad does. My dad says he can't swim, but he can kind of get into a swimming pool and just sort of like kick on his back, and it seems to sort of get him from one end to the other. But if he was to try to do anything beyond that,
yeah,
he
my
would
dad
probably
does
drown.
The same.
They it do the squid.
Yeah, it's a very weird swimming move because it's
That's
not
my
very favorite. Practical.
Oh, but it's so nice if like you're in a lake or something and you need to get across leisurely.
But it makes the most noise though out of all the swimming moves. It's like I'm in the pool, everyone look at me, I'm in the pool, and I'm out the pool.
Yeah,
you can't really sustain that for too long.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what the vote was. The vote went 64% to houseboat, but I think that people haven't thought that through because getting a houseboat is impractical unless you want to uproot your entire life. And start living on a houseboat. Otherwise, what do you have a houseboat for? You've just got a houseboat somewhere moored far away from you. Whereas I could have a really nice treehouse in my backyard. I don't need to change that much.
Although
I can go up there every now and then.
I bet you the people in Eisner would have flipping loved it if they'd had a houseboat instead of a normal house.
I reckon it would have been done. But I think it depends if you're from Zimbabwe or not. Because, you know, there's those white Zimbabweans who like, yeah, at least we can still go to Kariba. We can go on the houseboat and whatever. It's like, it's the only house they can still own. In
right.
Zim.
Okay. Maybe they were all the ones voting. Okay, last one. And this is kind of silly as opposed to the others. Would you rather have arms the length of your legs or legs the length of your arms?
Arms the length of your...
Arms the length of my legs.
Okay, so really long arms.
Like Delzim like from Street Fighter, yes sir.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Nice. I like Street Fighter references.
What did you go with? Sorry, I missed. My son was mugging me.
Arms arms the size of my legs, like Delzim from Street Fighter. That's the thing.
Arms the size of my legs, the size of my arms. I'm going with arms the size of my legs.
Short legs.
Okay, well you're wrong. It's legs the length of your arms by 53%.
And we
the internet
all be
has
like
on it.
Look like Tyrion if we all had.
There's nothing wrong with Tyrion.
The internet went with.
The internet went,
legs.
Went with a landslide, 53%.
Oh wow!
It's true. So anyway, that was Would You Rather, and let's just talk some more. Now that we have got to know you, actually, it's been fun. Could you maybe tell us about your shows that you brought up this year?
I brought Heavier.
The smash sequel to your debut, Heavy.
Yeah. I brought that. It's fun. It's still in the developmental stage. It feels like I opened myself up a bit more every day. So I'll bring it again next year because, yeah, they're still digging. It's just this. I'm just digging with the show, yeah. You know, and I'm doing a lot of audience interaction in the show to a point where I go, when does the show start? We're like 7 minutes in and I'm just talking cock.
When are you going to start a routine?
So, but the more I speak to people is the more I realize I owe them information in some parts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And the other stuff, obviously I'm still worried about being judged, so I haven't gotten there yet. So
do you think in 3 years when you bring your third show, Heaviest, it'll be the kind of amalgamation of all the best?
I hope so, guy. I hope so. I actually want to change the name of the show to Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder because that's kind of like the running theme in the show. You know what I mean? So I might change the name of the show for Cape Town or I don't know. But
what I'd love to know about, because in terms of the scene, have you been on the scene for about 5-6 years? Somewhere it seems like around about that mark. How long did it take you to find your pace? Because surely if you're kind of seeing other comedians doing things, you sort of, your natural instinct might have not been to sort of slow it down, take your time.
What I did is that as soon as I had a working 10-minute set, I realized that no one in the country is going to book me to do more than 10 minutes anyway for the next little while.
Yeah.
I think that was the first thing that hit me. Like, listen, dude, no one is going to ask you to do more than 10 minutes. So you've got a set.
Yeah.
You can speak for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's worry about the technical aspect of the comedy versus the writing and the and then this is where my pace. I think this is how it happened, which I get there quicker than the other dudes because I was more worried about how to do the comedy. What is my style? What is my vibe? And the other thing is that I don't watch a lot of comedy. I don't watch. Yeah, bro. I don't know who Bill Burr is. I don't.
You hear the names.
Yeah. Bill Burr. Bill Burr.
You have like.
No, I opened two things. When I opened for Jim Jeffries, I had no idea who he was. People were excited around me, and I was acting like I'm also excited, but I was like, who's this guy?
Just didn't know.
Yeah.
Because we watch quite a lot of UK acts, and there's a guy called Stuart Lee who has a wonderful way of sort of like taking his time, sort of developing a piece. Well, he's kind of slow and very deliberate in terms of like you'll kind of say the same things over again, and you kind of have a bit of that vibe going on in the best way possible with your kind of doom story that you tell.
Oh yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
It's just taking your time to let it, like, the audience sometimes get ahead of you, and then
yes,
sort of
yes,
it's just wonderful yes. to see. And that stuff doesn't really work if you have a quick fire.
It's a journey phase. Thing, and the other thing is for me is to let the audience guess.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
you're going.
Totally.
You know what I mean? They get it right. It's a great vibe for them. They get it wrong. They are completely surprised.
Yeah.
You know that sort of thing. So
it's great. And it's,
yeah, I like
it's
those
nice
vibes.
To be in the audience when that kind of thing happens, because yeah. not everyone gets everything
yeah.
as well. So yeah. you almost get like a double go at it.
Yeah.
And the ones who did get it feel a bit like, yeah, cool, we're on board with this.
We're the cool kids. Yeah. yeah.
Like there's a little feeling of that.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel trapped by your pace, though, in situations where perhaps the audience isn't on board straight
no,
away?
No, bro. I can turn it up. Eh?
Okay.
Yeah, I can turn it up based on where I am. Sometimes I get drained after that. I can turn it up.
Cool.
I do. It's because for the majority of time, I can control... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can walk on stage and go, this is the pace, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you on board? And they go. And the other thing that, because I slur a lot, it helps to speak slow. Then everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's that type of
vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. So it came from a non-confidence with English type of vibe. Like, I'm not confident with this language. Let me speak slower so that they understand
totally
what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works great. In case you're wondering why we're not sharing your nick anymore, we're just letting him eat his breakfast.
Yeah.
So we'll dissect Nick's show just now once he's finished
I'm
all
ready.
His chips
I'm
and
finished
mushrooms.
My breakfast.
Going. All right. All Nick, right. What's your show about this year?
My show is about, well, in the press release, it says something about midlife crisis and stuff like that. That's about 5 minutes of the show.
The Honest Podcast.
I can't remember. Yeah, I probably wrote that. We do write these things many months before we actually put a show together. But essentially, it's an amalgamation of stuff I've experienced over the last couple of years.
Mm.
And which has become more personal. My shows have become, I think, more personal in terms of actually things I've experienced and kids and... being turning 40 and being married and a variety of other things.
And you've also, you say in your show that you haven't been at the festival for a number of years.
Yeah. In fact, yesterday when we organized this cricket match and they told me it was at the Village Green.
Yes.
I went to the wrong place.
Oh.
It's been that long.
Because it's moved since 9 years ago.
Oh, wow.
How else has the festival changed in your eyes if coming back here?
Not much. I mean, it is... there are fewer people here. I don't know if it's just this year, but
all us comics
back
are
then
saying that
you could never get into
here.
The long table and like at any time and find a place to eat, to sit down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like the long table, if you're looking for a... It's my wife. She's just arrived.
Hello.
She's over there. This is... this
Hello,
will be
Debbie.
This will be the first time she's seen me talking to a microphone since I was last in Grahamstown, actually, nine years ago.
Oh, wow.
I'm joking.
I was hoping so.
Hi, love. How's it going? Thank you so much for taking over the children, one of whom actually hit me in the testicles a mere 10 minutes ago.
Okay, so the show is called Fortified.
Yep.
Are either of you guys taking your shows anywhere else after the festival? Because we are on the last day here.
I think my show will go to Joburg at some point soon. I'm not sure when that is. What about Heavier?
It will go to Joburg in Pretoria once it's ready, man. Once I'm even Cape Town. I thought I'm gonna come back and go straight up. Bah, there's a show, Cape Town.
Yeah.
Right.
But the past 3 days, I've just been revealing stuff about myself. Where I go, it's funny. Yesterday, I told the audiences about because I do this bit about my romance bit.
Mm.
About how difficult it is to open up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
And then I remembered the one time I opened up, which was about 9 years ago, and I was wired on ecstasy. It was the first time I've ever told an audience that I had done drugs in my life.
Now you've told an audience of my children.
Yeah.
Not to mention the Brother Street listeners.
So that for me was like, whoa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I remembered that day, and I went all the way. I told them exactly what happened, that I cried. You know what I mean? Like,
it's interesting. It
is the type of good feeling that I'm afraid of experiencing again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was just a huge moment. It's scary type of thing. So it's just those little reveals that I'm doing with the audience.
But now that must surely kind of undermine the whole bit that you're trying to get to, where you don't express anything, surely?
No, but I want to express things.
Okay.
It seems,
but I'm learning to express things there's
a movement of this, though, because both of you mentioned sort of almost sort of being more introspective in your shows, telling true stories, kind of moving away from those kind of half fabricated stories and moving into,
or like political stuff. Or
yeah, and Tats was even speaking yesterday. I think he was actually off mic when he was saying it, but he was saying that he's enjoying kind of exploring his feelings more on stage and sort of unpacking kind of actually emotions as opposed to stories. And it's quite an exciting thing to sort of witness happening on our local scene.
I think it's the evolution of comedy worldwide. I think dudes are starting to write.
Says the guy who doesn't watch comedy.
Yeah, but the few I've seen feels like it's more from inside out versus outside in. Back in the day, it used to be black people do white people.
Yes, totally.
Have you seen the guys at the bus stop? Now it's I do blah blah blah. You know what I mean? And it's cool.
And that's more useful, I think, because in a country that's still quite divided, it's very useful being able to sort of jump in and see something properly through someone's perspective rather than just seeing stereotypes being played around.
You know what?
With.
The other thing is, I think maybe comics are tired of speaking on behalf of other people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to speak on behalf of that guy over there. Like, I don't know him. I don't know if we've got the same vibe, but I can take responsibility for the things that I say. And when I was doing gags about my dad being a sangoma, blah, 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 I felt like there are one or two people that wanted to make me the voice of black people, the voice of... I don't want to be the voice of any... I want to be my voice. You know what I mean? So I think...
I feel like if you were the voice of Sangomas, though, that would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool.
Now, before
black you... Black and white.
It would be cool.
Before we move into the quickfire round, Nick, I've got a question for you, because this has always fascinated me about your work, is that you're one of the few white comedians that feel comfortable doing more race-related material, speaking in accents and things like that. And I think it's a lot to do with your unique sort of background, how you came about learning the languages you know, and that's obviously brought you a lot of, what's the word, trust, that people don't think that you're going to do any of those bits from a sort of
malicious
perspective. Do you feel like you still, though, have to judge what you can get away with and what you can't? How does that sort of process work for you?
Yeah. Before I answer that question, I'm just going to ask my wife something. Could you perhaps bring in the bubble wrap as well as my jersey? Thanks, love.
Batman, get that out the way.
Yeah. And to answer the question, I've got to wrap up my set. It's my last show. I've got to take those fancy lights home.
For the lounge.
I do still sometimes feel I'm going to be judged, particularly by other comics, like other comics for doing blackface or something like that.
Yeah.
But for me, I think I've got clearer that actually what I really enjoy is characterization and creating a character who, in my mind, is a person. Mm. When it becomes a voice about a race, then I think then it's problematic. But I'm picking the woman at the customs who I have met, or this one or that. And you have to think through status issues. And I try with that one sketch I do with the customs woman that she flips it on me.
Yes. So you end up the butt of
So I can think through those things. But I think if it's specific to a person, whoever that person is, and then if it's also sort of like even-handed in terms of, you know, I'm not just taking the piss out of this group or whatever, but the dangers that audience members can misinterpret the thing, and then they come up to you afterwards and go, "I'm so glad you had a crack at those," or whatever. You know,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're right, it's a bit of a minefield.
Like, no,
it is
not
a bit of a minefield.
Yeah.
But it's refreshing to see, because I think so often, because of fear, a white perspective does start to sort of fade, because we just feel like we definitely can't go there because we haven't earned the rights, or actually will seem out of place. So it's always good to sort of be able, you know, see comics like yourself not afraid to go there and going there in a respectful way, because obviously you are a respectful man. So that's
good to see. That was a total myth, that.
Really, so disrespectful. From a place of hate.
I actually heard my 5-year-old come up to my wife yesterday and go, what did he say now? He said, "Mom, could I respectfully ask for the iPad?" it's amazing. Thank you so much. Here, the bubble wrap has arrived, and the children have only popped half of the bubbles. That's amazing. You can put it under the table. Thank you very much, Ben.
This is a real behind-the-scenes podcast. Yeah. This
so addictive.
Bye, love. Go get a mani pedi or a spray tan or a boob job. I love you.
All right. We like to ask the big question on this podcast, big kind of philosophical, meaty life questions. Simon, do you have a question for us
today?
I do.
I think, because you're both parents, it would be good to know, what is the best way to discipline a child?
You guys don't have kids, either of you?
No. I'm hopefully in 2 years' time might raise some sort of spawn. But
I'm still ahead right myself. So
have you ever
no
studied
plans.
Accounting? Because you have, eh?
No. I studied IT.
Then you probably discipline your daughter differently from how I discipline my kids, because have any of you studied accounting?
I studied accounting, but only in matric, though.
Oh, that's fine. Well, that's all you need to know. You've got all the tools then, because it does raise an accounting question, which is, if you give, and I sometimes do this, I sometimes give my 7-year-old a clap before he's naughty. Now, Simon, would that be provision or accrual?
Oh, I think it would be long.
It's just cruel. It's just cruel. What's the question again? How to discipline your kids?
Yeah, because I've got an idea. Can I run it past you guys?
Yeah.
I'm thinking they should make children-sized stocks.
As in the French Revolution stocks.
Yeah, that you can put your kids into if they're naughty, because then you don't have to hit them. But there is still a sense of embarrassment.
That like the clamp on the head?
Yeah, definitely. Arms through the holes.
Right, lean forward, people
different
gather.
Different from the guillotine technique.
Tomatoes.
No. The guillotine might be too far down the
That's when they're really, really naughty.
Yo, dude,
he's got a
new
girl,
school, eh? I'm new school. I'm time out guy. I don't move my kid, eh?
But time out in the stocks, though.
Look, dude, when my wife was pregnant, I was like, I'm going to move her. But I don't...
Who? Your wife or the kid?
No, the kid. Mur the wife. Maybe trash. It's frowned upon.
Mur coffee. It makes you do that.
No, dude. Like,
sweet.
No, time out. Time out works. She hates it, and it's always like just against the wall somewhere. Just sit there. Just, you know what I mean.
Do you do minutes according to age? Because you're supposed to do that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Oh, no, I don't do
that. That's why the last State of the Nation, Balagambeta, was like, Honorable Malema, 38 minutes in that corner.
I keep her there for as long as I want.
Yeah, 5 hours like, later, you may like, come out of the corner.
Yeah, because she's a kid. She's 5 years old. So she is restless. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
10 minutes later, you can see that she's like frustrated. And then you're like, Daddy, I won't do it again.
We had this interesting debate about this recently, because we used to send our kids to, the timeout was in the, like, there's quite a cuck room, like, where there's just a washing machine. And then we'd like close the door on them. And then my wife's therapist said to her recently, like, when you come home and you've had a rough day and you're feeling pissed off, would you like to be put in the scullery of the washing machine?
Yeah.
She's like, no, I want to go lie on my bed. Oh, well, exactly. I'd rather let them go to their room. Okay.
Cool. She does that. She just goes to her. My thing is, I was scared of punishing her with going to her room, because I've got this thing where I go, her room is a sanctuary.
Fun stuff there.
There's fun stuff there. You know what I mean? So it's cool when she goes there and bangs the door, and because it's her door. Right? You want to bang your own door? Cool, go bang it. If it breaks, I'm not buying another door.
Yeah.
If the handles fall off, you're on your own. But
yeah, that's great. Yeah, you consequences. Know what I mean?
Like I'm happy.
But I've watched
her
this guy with his kid.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Go bang the door. Go, but I kind of like don't go. Your punishment is in your room, because I feel like the room is that place of sanctuary.
It's like the briar patch or whatever from that fairy tale or children's story. Like, no, please don't send me to where all my toys and kind of
she's gonna have fun anyway.
My comfy bed. Jeez, I'm really being punished here.
or sometimes you just cut out TV, you know, like just like, oh, you wanna watch Mickey and the Roadster Racers? Forget about it. You're watching ANN 7.
I wanna watch Paw Patrol, Dad.
There's no,
forget about Paw Patrol.
If you wanna watch Zuma, go watch the Parliamentary Channel.
The worst thing is when you take away TV. It's not cool because I like actually watching. Like Blaze and the Monster Machines is
Blaze! Oh my God, we're big Blaze fans.
I actually learned stuff from Blaze and the Monster Machine.
How does the theme tune go again?
Let's Blaze, man.
You watch it when you're stoned.
Yeah, you're watching a different show.
I do watch it when I'm stoned. It's okay. High Court says we can get stoned now.
That guy looks like he's watching us stoned. I think he's just totally zoned out.
All right. We like to end our show with quickfire questions. I'll be asking Nick some quickfire questions. Dill will be asking KG.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, these are for points, so you can win essentially the podcast. We'll give you a prize at the end if you win. They're 10 questions each, and it's quickfire, so you got to think on your feet. All right, Nick, who would win in a fight? Nick Cage or Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys?
Carter.
Correct. He plays dirty.
All right, KG, would you rather be kept awake at night by a mosquito or a mask?
Mosquito.
No, that's incorrect. It's a mask. It's a lovely, joyous sound, and a mosquito is really annoying.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Nick, what is the main ingredient in bread?
Dough.
Ooh,
wheat.
Flour. So I'm not going to give you a point for that, sorry.
These do have actual answers.
Yeah, some of them have actual answers.
Okay, KG, what's the best color Smartie?
Yellow.
Oh, no, it's red.
I don't like
or Smarties. Sometimes the limited edition blue.
But guys.
Yeah, that's too wrong.
That's
joking.
I think it's racist.
All right, cool. Yeah. Let's go.
No, I think it's racist that you went for the Chinese Smartie as well.
I think that's racist.
Yeah, but that's... Like, I was thinking if I were to eat the Smartie, which Smartie would I go for? I'd go for the yellow Smartie.
No, it's wrong. It's red or sometimes limited edition blue.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, okay. Right.
I think we could get into why there's an ideological flaw in this game, but we won't.
Next question.
Nick, have you ever found something valuable on the beach?
I thought it was yes or no, but yes, I have.
Did you return it?
No, I lost it. My ring.
Ah, okay.
Have you seen that guy at Musenberg who walks around all the time with his detector?
Numerous guys.
Do you ask him every day, have you found...
No, it was in Arniston.
Okay. Oh, you see. That's the
I'll give you a half a point because that's actually quite a sad story. So
yeah,
it's a sympathy half a point though.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
If you don't know what the ring was, you didn't say it was a really nice ring. It could be a ring with
a really bad symbol on it. I had to have a replica made.
Okay. KG, besides the words hey and Macarena, can you list another word in the song Macarena?
No.
That's correct.
That's the right answer.
All right. Nick. I was sure I got that wrong.
Yeah, that's correct.
This is the nature of the quickfire game. Nick, if Tara Nutcut directs Rob Van Vuren, then who directs Tara Nutcut?
How do you say that name?
Tara Nutcut.
Nutcut.
She's Tara
Nutcut.
I am going with Sivan Gesi on this one.
That is 100% correct. Well done.
Nice. Yep.
It is indeed Siv.
All right, KG, we've asked... Literally all our guests this. Do you wee in the shower?
Yes.
Correct, but we haven't asked anyone that. Thank you for being so honest.
That is actually a water-saving technique.
Yeah, no, I mean, do.
No, look.
In solidarity,
I mean, I'm with Angel and her mom now. So I couldn't wee in the shower because it was like, ah.
They would never know though, KG.
I mean,
I weed in the shower.
In my shower.
I sometimes wee in the shower even when I'm not showering. Just
yeah, when the toilet is being used.
I thought you were going to say even when I'm not saving water. Even when I'm just like, screw these 4B restrictions.
Nick, what is the film How to Make an American Quilt actually about?
It's about these four women.
Yeah.
And they are of Asian origin.
Yeah.
And they share these stories of their trip to America and life there.
Do you know what? I've never seen it, so I'm going to give you a point for that and assume that you are telling the correct. I don't think anyone's seen that film.
I don't think that was the correct thing.
I've seen it. He's lying.
Well, I think actually. No, that's incorrect. The internet has voted, and I read the book.
Very good.
KG, in honor of the Oyster Festival, do you enjoy oysters?
No.
Correct. What about? Hold
correct.
On. Hold
no,
on.
It's the right answer.
Do you like sheep's heads?
I love sheep's heads.
What is your favorite part of the sheep's head?
The brain.
Mine is the eye, also known as?
Oysters.
The oyster.
Yeah. There you go.
Wait.
Full circle.
Where are you guys eating sheep's heads?
I ate them for my show Tires and Briars, which nobody has seen.
I've seen Tires and Briars. Yeah.
On the one episode, we ate 14 sheep's heads. Scop cop. Smiley.
Smileys, oh. Yeah.
Scop.
What is like, with chilies? Like
the whole deal. Oh. The whole deal.
What does it like taste like? This is interesting.
I'm not a fan of the brands. And they were like, put them on. They put them on toast.
Yeah.
White or brown?
Yeah.
Is it true that brains are food for thought?
Yeah, they apparently they are.
That's a little.
But the eye is for me was there. The tastiest.
Okay.
Part.
And what does eye taste like?
It tastes like an oyster.
An oyster.
Yeah, okay. A little bit like an oyster.
And what do the brains taste like? I mean, is it like? Because surely chicken. Everything seems to taste like chicken.
No.
Cream cheese.
How many kgs is the comedian KG?
How many kgs could you fit in a light bulb? Yeah, how many kgs is the comedian KG?
Yeah.
Is this like, this is like a Zen koan. Like if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there.
Yeah. Actually, we asked one of those to a previous guest.
I'm going with one.
Yeah, you're correct, because KG is only one guy, so you're correct.
Okay.
All right, KG, right, complete the slogan, brand power. I'll do it again. Brand power.
I'll go focal.
You don't got it. Brand power, helping you buy better. There's no punctuation in there, it's just one word. Brand power, helping you buy better.
All right.
Guess you got that wrong.
Okay.
I got it wrong. Yeah.
Nick, was the sequel to the 1860s novel Little Women called Littler Woman, Littlest Woman, or Little Men?
None of those.
You're incorrect. It was Little Men.
I read Little Woman.
How was it?
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay, KG, given how close we have become over this podcast,
yes.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I don't care about none of them, but I'll go with Star Wars.
Yes, it's the right
everybody
answer.
Everybody seems
well
to
done.
Be liking Star Wars.
Which was the one where they had a person of color?
Star Wars.
Star Wars has.
Star Wars.
Although Star Trek kind of was always about sort of different cultures and races coming
Lando
together.
Corazian.
Yeah, I never bought into Star Wars.
Finn.
Never.
Never.
No, I never. Like, I enjoyed not caring about Star Wars.
Well, you are uninvited to my Star Wars marathon next month then.
You know
KG.
What, guy? I don't give a damn.
Did your dad never, like, quote Star Wars at any point? When
no,
you were, like,
my dad.
What's
my
his name again?
Ditako.
Did you ever ask him, like, are you my real dad? And he was like,
KG, I am your father. Yeah.
He did a really bad Darth Vader impression.
Nick, who...
He laughed! We got a laugh from him! The first laugh of the hour!
Nick, who let the dogs out?
I do believe that it was TJ.
TJ?
Yeah.
All right.
He is our dog walker, and... when he arrives outside the house with a bucky, he opens the door, and then they get up.
I'll give you a point for that. I also would have accepted that the song is a metaphor and the dogs in the song are actually representing men, and so therefore the men let themselves out to the party and the women were calling them canines for whatever reason. It is profound. Read the lyrics like I did this morning, and that's apparently what
you guys
about.
Prepared for this?
We tried to. Yeah, we tried to.
There's notes. All right, I've asked Stuart Cairns and Kate Pinchuk this question. How do you get such lovely body to your hair?
Coconut oil.
Coconut
what?
Oil.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil, yeah.
So, banting friendly hairstyle of yours.
Coconut oil, dog.
Great. Have you ever tried beeswax?
I've tried beeswax, I've tried molding cream a long time ago with my first ever dreads, but I wasn't trying to have dreads this time around.
I was just surprise dreads.
Well, our hair does that. Yeah. You know, it just twists itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was going for that black rugby player chic vibe. You know, we all, you know.
Looks good.
You just get to a point where you're like, but I just want to wash my hair and not comb it and not do anything and just leave it.
I feel like the most important part of the rugby player part of what you just said is the beard.
Yeah.
Because my son Ben, who was watching earlier, he told me the other day, Dad, you can't play sevens unless you have a beard. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
Is that official?
It looks like it's true.
Is that so that there's no disadvantage because you can grab everyone by the face?
Yeah.
If there's one guy who's smooth-faced, he's going to have the obvious advantage.
Yeah. Well, Sinatla is pretty clean.
Sinatla, yeah, but he makes up for it with the hair.
Yeah.
You can still grab
his hair is as long as his legs because he didn't swap his arms for it. He swapped it.
Good. Always backlinking.
Nick, name two other notable people with the surname Rabinowitz.
I would have to go with relatives because... No, I could go with the well-known philanthropist, Ben Rabinowitz.
Okay.
Who lives in Sea Point and has the same name as my oldest child. And we used to get the medication mixed up at the pharmacy. One time he went home with the nappy rash cream and we discovered the Piles medication when we got home.
And which time was there a mix-up in the medication?
I'm going to go with him.
Okay, I would have accepted...
There's some conductor musician guy as well.
I would have accepted Alan, the zoologist.
Right.
I would have accepted David, the astronomer. Dorothy, the journalist. Do you know that you also have a Philip, who's the fastest...
Yes, Flying Phil.
Yeah,
Flying
yeah, yeah.
Phil. He ran the 100 meters at the age of 100.
Oh, wow. Oh,
he should have been on my list.
Do you think he'll do 101 meters when he turns 101? Oh, no. That's no good. Well, I don't think he will do that then. Fair enough.
All right, KG, we're getting to the end of these things. During the Jive Funny Festival, do you have to drink Jive or are you allowed to drink nice cool
Only if you're
too?
Muslim. Sorry, it's not my question.
You know, like Spalletta or something nice.
I'll go with yes because I've done a couple of shows with Jive, and Jive is a nice drink. And Jive, I love Jive. Jive is the best.
Okay, I'll give you a point.
Do you know that
when
we had a building honesty. Team on site and they were all Muslim, even the black guys.
Yeah.
Like, Ibrahim, come, Ambedkar for Juma, and then they would all go pray. And then when you do the roof wetting at the end of the process, we obviously couldn't use alcohol because it's haram.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we used Jive.
Oh, wow.
And we're still trying to clean that shit off the roof. It's very sticky.
Toxic goop.
All right, Nick, this is a simple yes or no answer.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Correct. It's always good to be positive. All right.
So there's a reason why. All right, last question here for you, KG. I've looked through your Google image search.
Yes.
No, wait, not your Google image search. Google image search of you.
All right.
And you seem to have done a photo shoot with a roll of chicken wire. The question is why?
Because it was there.
Because it was there.
It was there, guy.
Did you, like, was it rolled up and then you appeared in the hole?
He does look through it.
I do look through it. And
there's one way he's kind of holding it like a lady, like you're dancing.
You guys actually did your research.
No, we do our research on the show.
Wow. I woke up hungover and I come here. You guys.
I'll accept because it was there.
Bro, do you know, day before last night, yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
when we went out partying
Thursday.
I fell on top of Claudine Ullman.
You fell on top of Claudine Ullman.
I feel so bad.
And is it true then? Is it true what her husband recently said about her? That humpbacked whales are delightful? Or were you the whale in this equation?
I was the whale in this. I'll take the bullet. I was the whale in this.
Did anyone whale?
People went, woo! It
qualifies.
It was, man, she dragged me down and I couldn't stop. And it was that point where I'm like, and she knew I'm gonna, you know. Like,
do you know they had a whale bra at the Eskom staff party last year at Kuburg?
Oh.
Yeah, they draped it over the reactor and nuked it until it was medium rare. And it was fucking delicious.
That's great. All right, I've tallied up the scores.
We got another laugh from the guy in green.
That's probably more important than these scores, actually. You've got two laughs from the audience. Kagiso, you've got 7 out of 10.
Oh, lovely.
Nick, you sadly only have 6.5.
Oh, I thought I had 6.
Yeah, I gave you a half point.
I got an extra half. I'm happy with
that. That means you've won. KG, you get to choose the coveted white packet or brown packet of sugar.
Well, this is the test.
I'll choose the brown packet.
Justify.
This is not racist. Some of my best friends are white.
Justified. thank you very much for being here. You can catch these guys' shows if you're listening live. KG, you're doing Heavier at the Scout Hall today at noon.
Yeah.
Yes, and Nick, you're doing Fortified also at noon today. So if you're listening live to this, you can go check it out at St. Andrew's Hall.
How many people do you think are listening live to this in Grahamstown right now?
It's not going out live, so anyone who's here in front of us right now.
Oh, we're actually talking to these people who aren't listening to us, apart from the guy in green.
We will.
Both our shows are 12 o'clock live, and if you can be at both of them at the same time, then you clearly are able to time travel and are way more.
That would be good.
Amazing.
What are you doing here in Grahamstown?
Podcast listeners, if you're a podcast listener, you can catch Nick, I think, up in Joburg, hopefully later this year, with Fortified and KG, or potentially be doing Heavier somewhere in a place near you.
How can people find these things online after the fact?
At KGComic, KGComic.com, at KGComic.
Can I open
Twitter
for you when you go to?
I would love for you to open for me, bro. It would be so good.
Yeah.
If you like, I'd love for you to open for me.
I want to do that.
And Nick, finding you online, him? Nick Rabinowitz.
Finding
type it in right or else.
Yeah, you can find me. I'm never online, really. But sometimes I am.
Okay. Well, thank you. This has been our last podcast here.
I think this has been
the
best podcast I've ever been on.
Oh, cool.
Really? That is an honor to hear, and I hope you're not lying.
I'm not.
You may get an extra point. Won the quickfire round. You have 7.5 points. That lovely compliment. KG, please give your brown sugar to Nick.
Okay. And lastly, to our hosts, I want to say I look forward to seeing you in the water, and I look forward to seeing you at the 2018 Comics versus Comics cricket match. Please, please work on your surfing and your batting between now and then.
I'll come out to the back and hang ten with you.
Which one of you is sings in a choir with my friend Abigail Jackson?
Abigail Jackson. I don't think any of us.
Neither one of us does that, but we do have a full band. It could be one of the others.
And to the man in green, what can we say to him?
Thanks for laughing.
Joshua Doe, the only person that listened, apart from Jess.
Joshua Doe, we love you.
Technically, wasn't fully present because she was knitting. What did you say, Joshua Doe?
We love him.
Joshua.
It's Joshua Doe.
It is.
We found him.
It's the uncle of the furniture business.
So you know that slogan. Not brand power.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Hey.